The ultimate goal of any social media marketing is to get the email, to capture the email and get them off of the social media platform.
Welcome to Stay Paid Real Estate Marketing. Unlock the secrets of success in the real estate world, where each episode delivers valuable tips and strategies to elevate your marketing game and help you succeed in both life and business. Brought to you by Reminder Media.
This podcast is brought to you by Reminder Media, the company that keeps the lights on in our studio, including our Take Action sign behind us. Luke and I have worked together over the last 20 years to help small business owners stay top of mind with a mission to help them generate more repeat and referral business. We help business owners with everything from lead generation, print marketing, social media content, geographic farming, and more.
We've had the opportunity to help over 100,000 entrepreneurs over the last 20 years. It's really been amazing. If you'd like to see how we can help you and your business, be sure to check out remindermedia.com/staypaidmarketing. That's remindermedia.com/staypaidmarketing. Take action on that today.
Welcome to Stay Paid Real Estate Marketing. My name is Joshua Stike, along with Luke Acree, and our guest today is Tammany Hall. Tammany is the owner of The Simple Touches and is helping seasoned real estate agents overflow their top-of-funnel lead generations with the exponential power of social media marketing. Tammany, welcome to Stay Paid. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, Tammany, we're excited to have you on the show. So nobody wants to cold call anymore.
No.
And everybody's thinking they're going to be the next influencer. That's how it feels these days, right?
Yep.
So my question to you is, like, you talk about generating leads on social, specifically Instagram. I would love to hear from you just an overall perspective of, like, how do you as an agent today, how do you, one, build your Instagram to get to a point where you can turn your, I would call it, your followers into actual leads?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, right? Like, how do I get this really powerful tool to do what I want it to do? And there's two pieces of that. There's what do I put into it and what content do I actually provide it? So I talk to my clients a lot about the actions of what we're doing. So as a business, you have to be really purposeful. And so that is, what are you searching? What are you liking? What are you commenting on? What are you engaging with? And that should be more or less your ideal client. And if you don't know what that is, like, that's the work you have to do before you even get started, is like, you have to have this one person in mind, and that's like the person you need to be envisioning whenever you're working on Instagram. And I call it working because it has to be very strategic. And a lot of people go on there and treat it like, you know, they're just lolling and just like, you know, liking what they like, which you can do that on a personal account. But if you're using it for a business, you're not going to get anywhere because you're confusing the algorithm. So if you're really envisioning this one person and you are looking up like locations that they would be hanging out in, and looking up tags that they would be tagged in, and interacting and engaging with those kind of things, that's going to be key in telling the algorithm, like, this is the kind of person that I want to connect with. And the second part of that is creating content for that person. So if those two things align, that's the first, I mean, that's the moneymaker right there, is being really clear with the algorithm of like, this is who I want to connect with.
That's amazing. I've never heard that perspective before. Because I'm thinking of myself, like, you know, I try to, because our podcast is real estate a lot, and, you know, we have other audiences, but I'm trying to reach like the small business, the real estate agent, mortgage, but I'm into working out. So what I am looking at a lot of times is like workout tips, or I do look at a lot of homes, like real estate or motivation. And I wonder if I made my feed just totally real estate, if it would, because I'm thinking to myself, I've always wondered, like, okay, why is it that my content isn't, and of course content plays into it probably the biggest way, but why? And so you're saying, if you engage with the audience that you want your content to be seen by,
yep,
and you search that, you search the hashtags, obviously I know if you engage with them literally, like comment wise and stuff like that, that definitely has a big influence. That is super interesting. And I'm wondering to myself if that's what's messed up a little bit of my profile, is that it's so,
it's fluid, right? Like, I've purposely trained my algorithm to show me mainly realtors on purpose.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee, like, most realtors are also seeing mostly realtors.
Yeah, that's true.
They think that's what they're supposed to be doing. But honestly, like, if I were to train my algorithm to see mostly other marketers, I'd be so in my head of, like, they're much better than me. Like, I want to copy their content. Like, I don't want to put myself in that situation. Like, I want to be able to see my ideal client and be able to be thinking creatively and providing value for them. And that's why I offer services for realtors, because I'm able to, I see realtor content all stinking day, and I have the ability to pick out the best ones, and I have all the data in front of me. Whereas realtors shouldn't be looking at other realtors' stuff for the most part. Like, you can follow your favorite ones, but for the most part, you should be trying to train your algorithm to be seeing local adults in your niche.
Hmm. So how would, like, so would that start with, like, following your sphere, like following your friends, your family, and then would it go down to, I'm just trying to play it out practically. So I start as a real estate agent, I friend my people on Instagram, like all my real friends. Then would I go to friending people who are also friends with them? Like, so, how would I kind of pragmatically, I guess, try to build that niche by my engagement, searching, likes, that type of idea?
Yeah. And that's a really, like, gray area. So I've been marketing on Instagram since, like, 2015. Back then I was doing a different business, but back then there was this strategy that was called follow for follow.
Yeah.
And basically you just went and, like, mass followed people in the hopes that people would follow you back just because you followed them.
We tried it a little bit, and it didn't quite work for us years ago.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, it quote unquote worked, but, like, since then the algorithm got smarter.
Yeah.
And if you built your following that way, it didn't work out for you because they weren't engaged with your stuff. So, like, even though your follower count went up, they didn't like, comment, share your stuff. So, like, your percentage went down, mm-hmm. and that actually hurt you. So, like, my personal page, for example, still has all these random followers that don't, like, engage with my stuff, because it was, like, all this follow for follow stuff that I was trying to do back then.
Yep.
that you were, like, able to do. So just following people in your niche might not be the best way to go. But if you come across a profile, you're like, this is a local adult that I think, like, we have a lot in common with, like, maybe, like a couple of their things, comment, ask a question, and follow them. That's totally fine. Don't just go and, like, follow, like, don't mass follow for no reason.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are you a new agent eager to make a great first impression? Instead of leading with a business card at your next open house or listing presentation, hand out a copy of your very own personally branded magazine. For less than the price of a fancy Starbucks drink, you can be the proud owner of a beautifully designed 48-page coffee table publication branded with your image and contact information in 6 key places. Between the covers are evergreen articles and recipes your clients will love, and includes 2 tear-out cards in each magazine that are great for sharing. You tell us who's more likely to stand out from the competition, an agent with a business card or one with their own magazine. To request a free sample, visit remindermedia.com/staypaidnewagent. That's remindermedia.com/staypaidnewagent. Take action on this today.
What type of content then are you posting for those local adults? Are you saying, like, you're basically looking at what they're viewing and trying to replicate it, or what kind of content are you recommending?
So again, it depends on your niche, right? So I define my niche as kind of like a 3-way Venn diagram. So for those who don't, like, know my business, I support realtors with social media marketing, and I am a retired teacher, and I also grew up in a real estate family. So I have my real estate background, my teaching background, and my social media marketing background. And I kind of, like, smooshed it all together to make my niche. So that's what I recommend realtors doing. So they have their real estate career. Often they have a prior other career that they had before they got into real estate. And then usually there's some other hobby or interests or something else that they have.
Kitty. Oh, Kitty's making an appearance.
The cat just made an appearance in it. What's the name of the cat?
Lucy.
Lucy, nice. Lucy, welcome to Stay Paid.
Zoom calls. She loves Zoom calls. But often they have like other interests outside of real estate that they can use, because I always tell them, if your niche is residential real estate, you're competing with Zillow. Mm. And Zillow has a bajillion marketing dollars, and you don't stand a chance. Like, you got to narrow it down. So anyway, so finding your niche and then making content to speak to that niche. So for example, I have a client who loves to read. So she's niched herself as the bookish realtor.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's like done book swaps and started collecting book donations for the local library. Like, she's done, awesome. Really leaned into it, and now has all these connections in the community that are now going to be future leads for her. Other things that you can do is just start getting out into the community and posting content about stuff happening in the community, being hyper-local. I know that agents have heard that term before, and the idea of being a local resource has not changed. It's just the how has changed. We're now doing it digitally on these social media platforms.
How have you seen the, like, from a content perspective, how to do content or use the features of Instagram to turn it to what I would call like a hand raiser, someone who needs your service, or you're taking it from maybe what you would call top of funnel to middle of funnel, or even if you could bottom of funnel, but let's just say you're getting them down that buyer's journey. Have you seen any content or unique ideas to get people to raise their hand?
So there's two ways people can raise their hand. Here she goes. There's two ways people can raise their hand. And I have this diagram I like to use, but the more like natural fluid way is reels get pushed mainly to non-followers. So 90% of the time, your goal of a reel is just to get that person to follow you and get them in your world. Right. Once they follow you, they're going to start to see your static posts, your stories, things like that. Then you're going to nurture them with that content. Then they're either going to comment or message you. And that's how you're going to set the appointment. So that's like kind of the more natural route. And that's the more of like the beginner, like you don't really have to have any software set up route. When you start getting going and you're getting like thousands of followers and more hands are being raised, you're going to want to start looking into automation. And that is more of like a lead magnet freebie offer type of situation that I work with my clients a lot on. And that's more of like the link in bio setup or the ManyChat comment this word for this link type of thing. And what I tell my clients is, you could do like a free home buyer's guide. I don't think that's the best use because your funnel is so wide on social. I personally would do something not super real estate related. I would do something more local related. So like comment for a free golf guide in Sacramento, California. Comment for a luxury spa guide in Dallas, Texas. Like, as long as it's local, you're going to start collecting local leads, and then you're going to get them in your email marketing and nurture them that way. Because there's research that shows if they start seeing your brand across different mediums, so social media, email marketing, in person, that's going to be more effective than them seeing you on social media three times.
Yeah, that omni-channel approach statistically is going to increase the mind share for sure. So I love that idea of like a local guide. In that guide, are you recommending, obviously their branding's on it from a picture or logo, are you recommending that they do anything to try to drive conversion from a real estate perspective, or keep it very much like, here are the five golf courses in, you know, this area of Pennsylvania, and it's branded to me, but that's it?
I mean, if it's a PDF, you could put, you can hyperlink anything you want on there, right? So like in the footer, you could put, by the way, click here to search available homes.
Right.
Okay. Right? Like, you can be as creative as you want on there. But as long as you get their email in the exchange of the free resource, that's the goal.
Okay.
the ultimate goal of any social media marketing is to get the email, to capture the email and get them off of the social media platform.
Okay.
Because I always tell my people, like, the social media platform could go away tomorrow. Look at what's happening with TikTok. Like, and all that work you've done to get all those followers, like, what do you have to show for it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's what, I mean, everybody got scared a couple of weeks ago when Instagram kind of had that whole hack and stuff thing happen to them. So speaking of TikTok, what are you seeing difference between TikTok and Instagram? What are you suggesting to people from, should they be on TikTok? Should they not, with this whole TikTok's going away? Is it even worth the time to be on TikTok? What do you think?
I'm an Instagram gal.
Crap on you, TikTok. No,
I'm on TikTok. I have like a fraction of the followers on TikTok. I've experimented. I've tried. I've like done all the things as far as like trying to cross post and like trying to start on TikTok and bring it over to Instagram and vice versa. And what I've landed on is what works best in my experience is creating an Instagram Reels, bringing it up, downloading without the watermark, and then bringing it over to TikTok and posting. That seems to work the best. It does not seem to work vice versa. Instagram's algorithm knows that you made it in TikTok for whatever reason. The other thing is like TikTok's algorithm seems to mostly be driven by watch time, whereas Instagram's algorithm loves engagement. And they recently embedded in there some watch time stuff too, but engagement is the real thing. So likes, comments, shares, saves. And I'm really good at that. I'm not so great at the watch time stuff, I'm learning. So the other thing too is like Instagram does better with like the really fancy editing and like fonts and all that stuff. Whereas like TikTok is really does well with like the authentic, like just show up, no makeup, like just go type of content. Instagram's a little bit more polished, a little bit more rugged, and a little bit like, you can post more on TikTok, kind of throwing noodles at the wall, seeing what sticks type of content. And Instagram's a little bit more like strategic, I would say.
We've definitely thrown a few noodles at the wall of TikTok trying to have success. We went viral. We went viral a bunch on TikTok. I shouldn't say a bunch. Probably, you know, what?
Yeah, early on.
Five, six, seven times. Yeah. It depends what you consider viral. And then we were like, we got it. We figured it out. This is amazing. And then we just went to the crapper.
For like a million views to 300.
Yeah, it was like, it was so crazy. It's like. So
I think that's why a lot of people like TikTok better than Instagram, because my opinion about the TikTok is each video kind of starts fresh. So you have like this ability to go viral every time you post on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel with Instagram, you kind of like have these tiers that you have to hit.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you start with like 200 views, and once you kind of surpass that, it hits 500, and then it's like 1,000, and then it's 5,000. It's like kind of like,
it's like a trust you've built with the algorithm that the algorithm can trust to put you out there. Yeah.
Like, this is a good account. We're going to hype you up a little bit and then a little bit more.
That makes so much sense. You mentioned you're very good at getting like engagement through Instagram. Any tips on like how you do that, how you get people to comment, like share?
So my brain is weird. So, and I think a lot of this comes from being a teacher prior. So like when I create content, I think ahead, like two steps ahead. And I think, one, like, how is this going to provide value to my people? But two, like, how can they like physically use this piece of content? So I'll give you an example. The Super Bowl happened recently. So I made a carousel post, and it was, the first slide was instant content for realtors. And it was, share the next slide to your story and add a poll sticker. And the next slide was like Chiefs versus 49ers, and there was a big like blank spot in the center for the poll. So like I built that with the intention of realtors to share that to their story,
so smart.
To add pull for them to get the engagement. But actually, it was boosting my account because they were sharing my content.
It's so good. Mm, yeah.
Right.
Super. So smart. Like,
but the only reason I can do that is because I know who my target audience is. And if you don't know who your target audience is, this is all like, you can't do it.
You're right.
So all of this starts with like figuring out who you want to serve.
Yeah, that's so good. I didn't think about that. It's like, I know we've done some things like that. I don't know if we've done it intentionally, not to take away credit from our social team, but like that idea of like, share this to your story and add a poll. That's an incredible idea. I think that's why like Keeping Current Matters, are you familiar with them? Yeah, they get a ton of engagement on their, for comparatively to most brands, right? In terms of like companies don't get a ton of engagement, but they do because their stuff is shareable for the agent to share with their clients. So the agents are sharing KCM's post. And in essence, they're boosting KCM's account as well. So I never thought about it through that lens exactly. That's really smart. So what do you think in terms of frequency? I just saw Jason Pantana do a post. Are you familiar with Jason? You should follow Jason Pantana. So he's Tom Ferry's main marketing guy. But he puts out a ton of great marketing content for real estate, stuff like that. But he just put out a post saying that the algorithms seem to be changing where Instagram is favoring less frequency, higher quality content, and longer form. Are you seeing anything like that? I feel like we have seen pictures come back a lot better with engagement, especially carousels, just from the stuff that we've seen. But what are you seeing when it comes to frequency of posting and images versus reels and stuff like that?
The thing that I've noticed in the past couple of weeks is like my reels aren't going out as fast, but they're lasting longer than they have been. So they may not get as many views in the first couple of days, but
they keep growing.
Yeah. Like a couple like weeks from now. But that being said, like, we could theorize about this dang algorithm.
We do. Josh and I stay up all night thinking about this. No.
And I just, you know, if I think it's valuable, I'm going to post it. Like, I don't, if I already, sometimes I post like 4 times a day and I'm like, I don't really care. Like, people who end up on my page are going to see and be attracted to the content that they need. And if it gets 3 likes, it gets 3 likes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a great, man.
Talk about the, because I looked at all your stuff. If anyone goes to your social media, like, it looks amazing. Like, all of your stuff is well designed, very aesthetically pleasing. How can a real estate agent who might not have the same design talents or skills, like, what can they use to make their feed look better? Or do the aesthetics of Instagram not really matter anymore? You mentioned earlier it's kind of like Instagram's a little bit more polished. How can, do you have any like hacks or tricks for people to be able to improve their visuals?
So aesthetics aren't as important as they were like a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. The only thing I will say is reel covers are important in the sense that they make your content bingeable. Mm. So having really clear like titles on your reels. So if I, for example, like if you think about somebody who has no idea who you are or what you post about, and they come up, like they're swiping, 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 they come across one of your reels, you're like, oh, I love this. And they click over to your page. They, you want to be like really clear on what each square is about. So they could be like, oh, this one applies to me. Click. Oh, this one, I like this one. Click. Versus like just a bunch of pictures of your face and they just like don't know what to do about it.
Yeah,
so like, it doesn't necessarily need to be pretty, but it does need to be like clear what the content is about.
Okay. Yeah. Cause if someone comes to your profile from a reel, they get dropped right onto the reel tab, right? So you're literally like, it's almost like a, it's almost like YouTube.
They do. Yeah.
Thumbnail library of your channel. Whenever people come to your, Instagram.
It depends on how they click over. It depends on like if they click on like the picture or the name or the, it depends.
I think if you swipe I think then it takes you to the real tab, I think is what it is, but I'm not positive. But that makes sense of like giving like almost like the exact title of what you're going to get, which is difficult because a lot of times you try to make the titles clickbait. Yeah. I mean, maybe not that extreme, but you know what I mean. You're trying to make it enticing, hover.
Yeah.
You know, and so that I think could also cause some struggle for people because they're trying to make it really enticing instead of straightforward. But I am more under the opinion today that straightforward is the way to go. Like people are just so over the clickbait. Unless they already know you, they're so over the clickbait. They just want the straightforward.
Cover, be straightforward. I mean, you can put the hook like as text on screen in your reel, but for the real cover, because think about who's seeing the real cover. That's someone who is already like, oh, I'm interested in this person, so I'm going to click over to their page.
Yep.
So you've already hooked them.
Yep.
Right. So now they just want to know more.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. Yeah, it's so good. Okay, so how long have you been doing the social media business now?
This one? Yeah. I started The Simple Touches in October of 2020.
Okay, wow, what timing. Because everybody was at home, so they needed to be on social. So, you know, good timing there. All right, so then as you look at your business, right, and the growth of the business, and you've seen also like the shifting of social media, it's always changing. If you were giving like one piece of advice for real estate agents when it comes to social that they should take action on, what do you think they should take action on social right now?
I always say social media is a free way to get more eyes on what you're already doing in your business. So getting really good at just taking like 2 to 3 second video clips of your day working, and then when you have time later that night or like the next morning, threading them together to like tell a story, whether that's a voiceover or like putting music behind it, like whatever, but like just getting started that way. And then you're going to get better as you go. Like all of our reels are awful. The first ones, all of us, because video editing is a skill. We didn't study that. Like we didn't know we needed to be expert video editors when we were in school. It's right. So true. But that's what I always tell my clients that are like, so overwhelmed. I'm like, look, like you are out in the field working, just like get your phone out vertical, take little video clips. Don't do anything with them. Just start taking video clips, and that's how you're going to get started.
Yeah, that's so good. Love that. Tammany, thanks so much for coming on the episode today. Before we close out, let people know how they can connect with you, and then you also have a program that people can try out?
Yeah, so on Instagram is where I spend most time. I'm at Realtor Social Media Marketing. And if you are a realtor already posting consistently on Reels, I have a subscription program called Social Simplicity, and we'll have the link in the description for you. And basically what I do is I do all of the research for you, because like I said, I have trained my algorithm to see mainly realtors on my feed. And so every single week I pick out all the new trends. I pick out all of the value posts. I do all the research for you. So all you have to do is open up the prompts, film and post your reels for the week, and then you're done. So it saves my clients hours every single week. They love it. We have bi-weekly Q&A calls. I do freebies all the time because I'm a Canvassador now, which is like Canva's like ambassador program. Oh, cool. And they get access to me in a Facebook group. And so it's a really fun group to be a part of. We do engagement contests, and the realtors who plug into it see like insane results.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. Taking all of the stress and the anxiety of having to come up with the ideas yourselves and making sure. So definitely check that out. We'll include the link here in the description of this episode as well as in the show notes. Thank you again, Tammany. Thank you all so much for listening. You can get those show notes over at staypaidpodcast.com. And if you enjoyed this episode and want to show your support, head on over to Apple Podcasts, drop us a 5-star review along with a comment. We'll read it here on the show. And the best way support the show is to share this episode with someone that you know. If you want to get hold of me or Luke, you can email us at podcast@remindermedia.com. And of course, you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Stay Paid Podcast. For this episode of Stay Paid, I'm Joshua Steich.
Guys, I'm Luke Acree. An amazing episode. Definitely go back and listen again. Get some of those golden nuggets. My action item for you for this episode is, do you know your ideal target audience? And then go look at your algorithm on Instagram right now, meaning go to your search feed and see what's being served up to you. And that's usually what you're looking at, liking and commenting on or whatever, and go, okay, is this my ideal target audience that's showing up for me here? And if it's not, that gives you a cue and a sign that, hey, maybe I need to engage more with the people that are my ideal target audience. And the easiest way to do that from an action standpoint is you have friends and family that you follow on Instagram that they're in your local community. Go comment on their posts. Go engage with their content because you'll start seeing more content like that. Remember, the difference between a top producer and a mediocre producer in every business is top producers take action. Take action on that stuff.